this is exciting. Olana and the Thomas Cole Site are collaborating on a major national exhibition titled Cross Pollination, Heed, Cole, Church, and Our Contemporary Moment. It addresses the continuing influence of the Hudson Valley on American art and the cross-pollination that is taking place across centuries. It stems from Martin Johnson Heed's unprecedented series of hummingbird and habitat paintings, The Gems of Brazil, and explores their unique relationship to the epic landscapes of Hudson River School artist Thomas Cole and Frederick Church, and their continued relevance to artists working today. For more on all of this, we welcome curators Kate Mencaneri, who is from the Thomas Cole Site. Hello, Kate.
Hi, how are you?
It is a great... I'm well. It's wonderful to have you here. Thank you very much. Will Coleman joins us from Owana. Good morning, Will.
Hello, good to be here.
Very nice to have you here. And Mindy Besaw joins us this morning via telephone from the Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville, Arkansas. Who would like to begin and tell us how this all came about?
Sure. Well, I'll be happy to jump in. As you noted, cross-pollination, Heed, Cole, and Church in Our Contemporary Moment took flight from the Gems of Brazil, which is this incredible collection of paintings on view and in the collection of Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art.
1863.
And cross-pollination is really one simultaneous exhibition at the Thomas Cole National Historic Site in Frederick Church's Olana. It includes over 85 works by 25 artists, and it was inspired by Heed's Gems of Brazil, which is in the collection of Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. And what was so fascinating to us is the way that in the Gems, this series of hummingbird and habitat paintings that Heed created on his trip to Brazil, is that he was balancing both art and science, and he was, you know, doing something that was unique from the 19th century naturalist illustrations being made at the time of birds. And he was doing something that was unique from what his contemporaries, like the landscapist Frederick Church, was making, these epic, sweeping, amazing landscapes. And what captivated our imagination is how in the Gems of Brazil, hummingbirds are larger than the landscapes behind them. And they are a part of and interacting with each other, but also with the flowers and within an environment. And so these interconnections within the landscape inspired us to think about not only how this work is part of the Hudson River School of American Art, but also how it was unique and how it reflected thinking in science of the time, including the new term ecology, which was coined by Ernst Haeckel in 1866, and that was specifically looking at relationships within nature.
So, Mindy Besaw, tell us about these paintings and how ultimately the museum came to own them.
Sure. So Crystal Bridges will be all of 10 years old this year. We're about to celebrate our decade anniversary, and we've had these 16 paintings in the collection since we opened. And there are 16 of probably about 24 paintings that Martin Johnson Heed made. And as Kate mentioned, the hummingbirds are larger than the landscape behind them. But what is so unique is that they are in a landscape. So as Heed goes to Brazil to observe them in nature, and he really makes a big claim that here is an artist traveling to Brazil to see them in their own habitats, he probably actually uses many of the skins that he buys in the market in Rio de Janeiro, but he has that real sense of presence of being there. And for us in the collection, Martin Johnson, he does hang alongside the other Hudson River School painters, as well as stretch into and relate to contemporary work in our collection. So our collection spans about 18th century to the present.
The color to me is fascinating because it's so much in the forefront, and as you say, it makes the creatures just really come out almost in a 3D sense, where the colors in the background are muted yet still gorgeous.
Yeah, and in some of them, this is where Heed's artistic eye really comes in. He has that natural sense of observation, but he might use a color in one of those really vivid feathers of the hummingbird and then repeat that as if it's a sunset in the background so that he's even further making that connection between the birds and their environment. Mm. And again, even if that was creatively conceived based on being in nature, the artistic sense of composition, of framing through branches, for example, or fruit or nests that really cup the birds themselves, all of that, once you start to pick these apart, you can just see how much it's infused together, that observation and the romanticism.
There is one butterfly. Do you have the butterfly too? Yeah. So the butterfly is fascinating because the right side of the butterfly is illuminated, if you will, while the left side of the butterfly from the viewer's perspective is shadowed. And that is really beautiful because you go to see sort of the enormity of the creature itself, but also of the detail in that right hand side of the veins, and so I assume they're veins. Would they be?
Yeah,
fibers.
That's right. It's an incredibly beautiful thing. And if I can jump in, just getting the privilege of living with this thing in our gallery at Olana right now, you just have to see these things in person to believe them. And that one in particular is such a resonant object for the way it helps us to understand the natural historic curiosity of so many of these artists. And indeed, that very species of butterfly is always on the wall at Olana, preserved in a bell jar by Frederick Edwin Church. So they're fascinating objects.
So Will Coleman, tell us a little bit about how we make the connection then between these paintings and the work, and why it was important to bring this to your institution.
Absolutely. We have a great partnership of three different case studies of art and landscape in the Cole site, Olana and Crystal Bridges, new and old. We have Cole building a market for American landscape art single-handedly through this pioneering career as an Anglo-American immigrant. That place in Catskill that is part of this exhibition today is where it all starts. Church at Olana, directly across the river, not by coincidence, following in the footsteps of his teacher, Thomas Cole, and building on a scale Cole never could imagine, and then choosing to follow a different path in art than Cole had offered. He, this hybrid figure that fits in none of our boxes, this strange hybrid of still life and landscape that shows this scientific rigor and curiosity that then carries through as a through line to the contemporary work in this show. Living artists who are still finding life in these dusty old things, still finding ways of understanding these fragile rhythms of the natural world, albeit in rather different media.
So let us talk about that for a moment, Kate, about the other artists that are represented and how that fills this out in addition to the work from Heed.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, the exhibition is it's about the interplay between art and science, but it's also about relationships, symbiotic relationships of nature, but also across generations. So Heed, Cole, and Church are kind of the starting point, but their fascination with the natural world and their creative practice extends to Church and Cole's daughters, Emily Cole and Isabel Downey Church. And then this fascination with habitats and biodiversity and balancing the built and natural world extends to artists who are working today, who are wrestling with climate change and habitat loss. You know, you've heard of the insect apocalypse.
Yes.
And so the contemporary artists, like their 19th century counterparts, are also looking, you know, engaging nature and celebrating the natural world, but also looking at the critical stakes that we face right now because of climate change and human impact. So I can go into detail about some of those incredible artists, but I will just say that the majority of work that we chose for this exhibition was pulled from the partner collections from the Thomas Cole site, Olana, and from the Crystal Bridges. But we also engaged contemporary artists and selected existing work that was relevant and important for this topic, such as Maya Lin's What is Missing? Interactive project. And some of the contemporary artists were just so excited about the conversation that was happening in cross-pollination and inspired in direct and indirect ways by Heed, Cole, and Church that they created completely new work for this exhibition.
So I know, I think you all mentioned this, but I just, for my own brain of knowing what the connection is. So when it comes to the relationship between Heed and Cole and Church, what was that relationship?
It's a great relationship. As a Cole person, first and foremost, before I came to Olana, I can speak to that very directly. Cole kicks it all off, launches this landscape boom, as it's been called, builds a market, Church is his star student, goes to study with him at the Thomas Cole site, and comes to love this bit of land, the Mid-Hudson Valley, spends the rest of his life slowly buying up land and building what became Olana. His studio mate, working literally by his side at the 10th Street Studio Building in New York City, is this fringe figure who's hard to understand, Martin Johnson Heed. So we have that first generation, Thomas Cole. We have that second generation, Church, the most famous artist in America, the most financially successful, this glorious country house, a work of three-dimensional landscape art, the product of that. And then Heed, this Heed person who chooses to go his own way. dissenting from what Cole and Church had made before him.
So how aware were Cole and Church of Heed's work?
Church was intimately aware, but Cole died before Heed ever came onto the scene.
Yeah. Were they in contact with one another?
Very closely, uncomfortably closely, right side by side, making things that looked very different. Church, these sweeping imperial scientific visions of all the Andes. Heed, as Kate's described it, as Mindy's come to know so well from living with these things, zooming in, these microcosmic landscapes, very different values in art.
So, and Mindy, is there anything you wanted to add to that?
No, I think that's great. And, you know, Martin Johnson Heed for some time really was under-recognized even in what we might think of more contemporary art history. So it's a lot of fun to have so much attention on him.
This attention, and I guess what it means for contemporary artists as they look, and that teaching goes on, right? I mean, that's passed from generation to generation, which is so fascinating.
Yeah, and I mean, if I can just chime in, one of the things, you know, Heed and Cole never would have met, although Heed would have seen Cole's work, but they were both writers. In addition to being painters, they wrote. And so Cole wrote advocating against the deforestation that he witnessed happening when he was here. And he talked about the copper-hearted barbarians cutting all the trees down. And Heed, too, wrote environmental advocacy under the pen name Didymus for Forest and Stream. And he wrote about specifically the bird butcherers and the plume traffic and trying to help protect habitats for birds living in the wetlands. So they both were using writing to advocate for environmental balance. And I think a lot of the their ecological awareness and call for balance within the natural world really resonates with contemporary artists who are creating, you know, not Paula Hayes, for instance, is an artist who is making landscapes, but she's not painting them with oil on a canvas and putting it in a gilded frame. She's actually creating artwork out of nature itself. So she's created a living bird nest habitat for one of her works in the exhibition, and then these incredible terrariums, which kind of riff on the Victorian terrarium and the ways that nature has been displayed in the past. But also she puts within them living plants and crystals and different elements from the earth in a way to kind of think about, you know, these are micro ecosystems, but also our responsibility to them. You know, we want these beautiful orchids and these plants and these crystals, but we also have an obligation and a responsibility towards them. And I think it's just been so inspiring to see how the contemporary artists thinking about these same issues are creating work that is in conversation, but also, you know, radically unique and sometimes surprising, but really inspiring. And it's been amazing to work with so many contemporary artists in our projects.
Will, anything on that?
I would underline that it might all sound really earnest and serious and rigorous and scientific, but one of the values of this show is that we're also getting a sense of these as real people, people with a sense of humor, and we understand their interpersonal relationships in new ways. One object, I'll flag for your your listeners, Gremlin in the Studio, number one, a very strange 19th century painting.
That was the name of our studio here. Wasn't it Gremlin in the Studio?
There you go. Well, you've got to see it then. Very strange.
We try not to talk about it, but sure.
A joke between friends in the 19th century. We've included the correspondence of these artists and see how they relate to each other. And then you see that same wry vision of these contemporary artists like Vic Muniz, who are making these strange deconstructions of Heed paintings with cut pictures from travel magazines.
Yeah.
There's a lot to see, and you'll just have to come and see it for yourself at the Thomas Cole National Historic Site in Olana.
Well, and not to be too crass about it, but hummingbirds are pretty cool, right? I mean, they're fun to watch and to see in person and certainly painted. Let me ask a question of you, Kate, just because you piqued my curiosity when you were talking about both of these artists being writers and also writing and the idea of that term ecology starting to come alive at basically the same time. How was that message received then? In the sense of what was in their writing and kind of flagging the concerns and the issues that they had, how was that received from the general public? And I ask that question only because we're still trying to do it.
That's a fantastic question. I could travel back to that time and tell you. But I know Cole wrote A Sand American Scenery in 1835, the year before Emerson would publish Nature. And he then later redrafted it in 1841 and delivered it as a public lecture. And, I think people were paying attention, but there's always this push and pull, how to balance the built-in natural world. And I think there's economic stakes as well as environmental stakes. And I think those complexities are what's interesting today.
Yes.
But we like to think that the work of Frederick Church and Thomas Cole, as well as Emerson and Thoreau and so many people thinking about the fragility of our environment and celebrating it, that has, positively impacted and shaped, the amount of public space and protected lands that are out there today. And, with this exhibition, we actually, to develop it, we worked with think tanks of curators, art historians, scholars, but also scientists and environmental historians and educators, because we wanted this exhibition to be intentionally interdisciplinary. And we wanted to talk about these relationships between artists, thinking of artists and thinkers as pollinators, but also, the moment that we're in right now, where pollinators and their habitats are under threat, and have these kind of really different conversations about history, the past, and the present, and how artists continue to be in conversation with each other and across art and science.
That's a great answer. Olana and the Thomas Cole Site are collaborating on the major national exhibition titled Cross Pollination, Heed, Cole, Church, and Our Contemporary Moment. It runs through Halloween, October 31st. My thanks to Will, Mindy, and Kate. Thank you all for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Be well.
Thank you so much. Please come and visit.
Thank you. And the website?
ThomasCole.org, is it? And Olana.org.
There you
and
go.
And the Skywalk.
We would be remiss not to mention the
Hudson River Skywalk, yes. Which connects Frederick Church's Olana and Thomas Cole National Historic Site.
There are ways to get from one to the other.
It's incredible,
My thanks to you all. Again, you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.